All right, welcome back to another episode of The Career Report. We're your hosts, Tim and Christina Madden. Christina, thank you for holding down the fort yesterday while I was out. I wasn't feeling well, so I appreciate
it. Have you guys ever seen a CEO pop back so quickly? He's like, I'm dying. I'm back. I'm alive again.
Yeah, I went to the gym today. I just felt tremendously better. Obviously, I took a lot of cold medicine. I felt good. Ran 4 miles today. Got some push-ups in. Got some weight training. But hey, let's get into today's episode. I know Christina is just dying to talk about this because we're going to let you know some hard truth, okay? You can't land the role of your dreams, right, when you're showing up desperate online. We've been doing this for a long time. It's absolutely impossible. Me and Christina as well are not fans to the open to work banner, right? We're also not fans of taking advice from people not winning and operating from panic modes. So that and more is being handled today on The Career Report. Thank you for tuning in today. Christina, why don't you get us started? Where are we starting today?
I'm like your Christmas elf today, delivering all the news you need about your identity online and how to stop screaming desperation. Also putting together like all these goodie bags for the school and the teachers and the kids. So I'm feeling extra festive. So you guys are getting festive, Christina, today. But listen, here's my hot take, okay? Here's what kicked off this topic. It's always something that kicks off the topic. But I saw somebody posting about this yesterday, and I saw a whole lot of recruiters head to the comments, and they're like, we love the open to work banner. We love it. And I'm just thinking like, I bet they do, you know, because they're on the hunt for people. They want to get all the desperate people and get them all in numbers and get them in lines to jobs. But wait, there's more. My hot take on this before we go into it is that it signals the exact opposite of what top performers want to project. Okay. So you don't want to take advice from somebody who can't help you and from somebody who doesn't know you and they're not maybe crushing it in their career. They're not at the executive level, so on and so forth. But the open to work banner signals the exact opposite of what you want to project, right? You're in demand. You solve problems. You're a value creator, right? You want companies to be in the pursuit of you. And guys, listen, I'm not saying that you don't have desperate moments where you feel desperate and maybe things are getting desperate, but you don't want to project that in your brand and online. So even if you're in a little bit of a desperate situation, that does not belong in your brand. Okay. And it just screams, I'm available. I'm downstream. Right. And that's the opposite of what you want, which is, you know, more like I'm essential. You need me. Okay. So this is a big like controversy on LinkedIn. And the only people that I saw run to this post and say, we love the banner were recruiters. I got my head bit off a little bit, but had a little fun with it too. Take it down. Along with anything that you're saying along the lines of like, hey, you know, I need a job. How you doing? Are you hiring? All of these things, guys, are not going to get you anywhere. And it doesn't scream that you are in high demand. The can you help me messages, please network with me. It just doesn't work. Thoughts, Tim Madden?
One is, here's the thing that most people don't even know. So follow me if you're paying attention, just lock in with me for a little sec. Here's why it doesn't even help you. There is a setting to show up visible with recruiters that has nothing to do with the open to work banner, right? So if you're looking for this, just go to ChatGPT, right? I don't remember because LinkedIn changes it every day, right? And just say, hey, I want to show that I'm open to work to decision makers and recruiters on my LinkedIn profile. It's actually in your settings. You go in and says, it's like, no one sees this. The only people that see this, by the way, if you're curious, are people who have LinkedIn Recruiter, which is LinkedIn charges a lot of money for these recruiter seats. So that if you're, you know, if you're working right now, you can still be visible to recruiters, headhunters, and other decision makers that have access to the system. Yet some people just don't update their settings. Right. So a lot of people, right. And number two, I've been saying this on lots of postings lately and been getting some traction, right? It's been, Christina, open to work banners, age, all of these like discriminatory things. And I've just been commenting on those posts because people are like, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? Here's my main opinion. I hire the best person for the job, right? A lot of people are talking about older candidates, younger candidates, people without degrees, people with this, people. I just hired the best person for the job and it's typically worked out for me, right? So don't worry about everything that's going on and just worry about, right? Worry about yourself, right? How can I show up as the best person online as a highly visible person, driving people to my profile, which is optimized, telling value I can bring businesses. And then when I go into these meetings, right, I can be someone who knows how to communicate effectively. If you do that, you will win. Okay. Businesses could care less if you're 50, you're 30, you have a degree, or you're not. You know what they care about? Money. They care about numbers, reducing costs, increasing customer retention, and things that are going to drive that. Okay. And be careful. I think Christina is going to talk about this as well. Be careful what you post on LinkedIn. This is your daily reminder. I saw this one guy, he posted the open to work thing, Christina's favorite banner. And then he says, this is the second time I've been laid off by the government in 5 years. That's like his first comment. Like, man.
And I get it. Like, I get it from the standpoint of like, you're frustrated, you're scared. And so when you're running on those high emotions, that's dictating your actions. Your actions are to lash out, have a tantrum, act a fool. That's what my book is all about, by the way. Go over to Amazon, The Fearless Executive, and find out why those high emotions are creating terrible, terrible actions that are hurting you across the board from how you're posting to how you're connecting to how you're communicating. You cannot carry that into the professional space. You can't do that. So you're like, okay, Tim and Christina, I get it. You're like, take the banner down, get my life together, stop acting a fool online, but what else can I do, right, to stop appearing desperate? And you guys hear me talk about it every day, about shifting your identity. I want you to think about this as shifting from job seeker energy to executive problem solver identity, okay? Executives get hired for impact, not availability. Think about that. So stop thinking about who will hire me and start thinking about whose problem am I built to solve? That's the shift. That's the identity shift from scarcity. Who's going to hire me? Oh my God, who's going to like me? Blah, 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 to whose problem am I built to solve? That kind of energy and shift will drastically change how you show up. And again, leaders post to lead and to influence. They don't post to, what's the word I'm looking for? They don't post to just get attention for the wrong reasons, right? That's not leadership. And so we need to really fix this from desperation, because desperation isn't a behavior. It's literally a frequency. So if you can make these small minor shifts into how you go into the way you show up in the world, man, it makes a big difference in how you pitch yourself and everything.
Man, I keep bringing this up because we hold trainings here at Executive Upgrades every week. By the way, we have a training next Tuesday, I believe, career.execupgrades/workshop. But it just shows me, like, I know if you're listening, you're really great at what you do, but that's only one part of it. Right? You have to be branded effectively. Yes. But you have to know you're valuable. There's a big difference in just like being branded effectively and know you're valuable, right? Because there's a part where we met this B2B e-commerce guy, right? And he took a brand from 75 million. And then 6 or 7 years later, they were doing $1 billion. He was the chief marketing officer. He led the marketing initiatives to truly scale this brand. And he's branding himself as just like a B2B e-commerce. We asked people to introduce him on the training. Oh, I'm in B2B and I do e-commerce. Okay. What language, and then I just don't get it. Why would you not talk about the amazing results that you brought these companies? A lot of you have saved companies millions of dollars, grown high performing teams, like all the reasons why you've done so well in the past. Like, why would you not communicate that to the open market? That's how you get swooped up. And a fun fact is, We tell people to post on LinkedIn all the time. You have a branded profile. Here's the reality. LinkedIn has hundreds of millions of users. Most of you could not only get swept up by a company in America, we have people all the time that the company's based in Sweden and they hire you here and they work remote and it's a Sweden company, right? So LinkedIn is global. The top 1% of people on LinkedIn, are you ready? They post one time per week. The top 1%. There's hundreds of millions of users. Just by default, if you create content around who you are, the results you bring, the problems you solve for companies, that and more, you are going to get seen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your biggest problem in a job search, is not enough people know you. But maybe you just don't feel confident enough putting yourself out there. Why? You really need to ask yourself that question, right? How do you not have confidence at your level when you've grown these teams, grown this revenue, saved these companies money, and done all these things? Like, when did you lose your confidence to promote yourself?
And it's not even all a loss of confidence thing. It's a literal fear of being seen that people have lost. And so you have to ask yourself, like, even if you were given the gift of like high visibility, could you handle it? Like, who are you really under all of that? Right. That's really the big question that I'm going to be uncovering it in our new course launching in January, the Identity Recode. If we haven't connected about it, definitely DM me the word recode and I'll get you the early access information and some details to see if it's aligned for you. But if you're somebody who envisions yourself having this amazing, influential, powerful career, and you're like, okay, like I want to have a bold voice, I want to do the things, but then you just freeze because you're scared of being seen. Well, that's because your identity that you're currently living in that got you where you are is not the same identity that can actually carry out these behaviors that we're talking about. So there is a disconnect. You're always looking to collapse the gap between how did you get here and where are you going and what do the new actions need to be. But guys, remember, top performers are not broadcasting availability. This goes just back to the beginning of the topic. They broadcast value all the time. So where did you lose confidence in your value? How do you communicate your value? And if nothing else, when you're posting on LinkedIn, talk about something valuable to your industry. Tim, I was laughing the other day because, you know, we've been posting some form of content for at least 10 years. Maybe more. Maybe we're really, I'm personally approaching probably 15 years. And I laugh when I hear people say like, well, what am I going to post? And I don't know how to post. And I'm just like, wow. Like you have literally free memberships to Canva. You have free, versions of ChatGPT that you can make really unique pieces with. And I'm just like, wow, it's never been easier to be well-spoken online.
It's funny. You were joking, laying in bed. You're like, why is not everyone, you know, who's in a job search using this? You're like, before they had an excuse, we were joking about, like, before they'd be like, I don't know what to say. They're like, man, they have everything.
I mean, shoot. I was even thinking like, you all have filters. You don't have to be ugly. You don't even have to look ugly no more. You can remotely, virtually change your pictures up with a great background. Like you don't have to go out to a professional studio and pay $500 for an image. That's what we had to do. And actually sit down and write and type and break your hands. Y'all, I have sore hands from all the typing I've done over these years. You can voice command into your chat. You're out of excuses is what I'm saying. And so if you're listening to this and I got you all pumped up, but when you get off the podcast, this energy might go away and you're going to be left to your own devices. Go use your tools that you have.
I post one time per day on LinkedIn. I'm not a viral creator. You can go back and look at my stuff. I get a couple likes, a couple comments, right? Nothing earth shattering. Ladies and gentlemen, every 7 days, LinkedIn tells me I get in front of 100,000 to 300,000 people every single week on LinkedIn. Those are the impressions. An impression means someone stopped for a second and saw the name Tim Madden and saw my headline and saw my professional picture and saw, hey, he helps professionals land jobs they love. Do you think that that's going to drive revenue to the businesses that we own? Absolutely. Do you think it would drive you leads? I know we're turning this into we need to move back to the recode. But I do have to say, Ganesh, a prior ECU alum, he has got not only a high-paying position he worked with this last year, he's got something like 10 job offers in the past 12 months. He's now a top 100 of the most followed people. Content can change your life. Your biggest problem is not enough people know you. So Christina, how do they start to change who they are? Because here's what Christina's going to be going over in the recode in the future, right? In a couple of weeks is, you know, to do something new, you need to become someone new, mm-hmm. right? You need to become a new you. If you're a director and you want to move up, you need to become a new you. If you want to go move to the C-suite, you need to be a new you. If you want to move higher than that, you need to be a new you, right? You need to keep reinventing yourself. Christina, what is the most basic sense of how to get started on this? Because I know it seems so overwhelming for people.
Yeah, you guys, you have to take a hard look at, does your identity right now match up to the identity you want to be in? And that consists of your patterns, your behavior patterns, your thought patterns, your beliefs, your emotional responses, your self-concepts, and survival operating systems that you've outgrown. Now, I know those are some big words, and it's like, whoa, 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 Christina. But that's what I'm going to show you. You have to release the identity that created your current limitations. I'm going to say that again. You have to release the identity that created your current limitations and the current situation that you don't want to be in. I guarantee if you're listening to us right now, if you found me or you found Tim, it's because things aren't going the way that you'd like. And you probably want more out of life. And what that tells me is you have to begin to unpack what landed you there and then dive into drastically changing that and re-architecting what needs to happen to get you to the next version of you. So think of it like this. You might be living in an identity that cannot hold the kind of life and career and relationships and self-leadership that you want, because it's a capacity issue based on your beliefs and your patterns. That's the simplest way that I can put the entry-level work of creating a new identity. So if you want to make some shifts into your new ones, into your new identity, right? You've got to get the clarity, and you've got to have decisiveness on what needs to change. You have to get very, very brutally honest with yourself about your patterns and your beliefs and where you are in this current point in time, and fully understand you are not currently the vehicle that can get you where you need to go. So that's what I'll be teaching you.
The other thing is, just so everyone knows, here's what really helped me when I started having like massive life transformations, just to hack. It wasn't actually about doing more. And my mentor taught me this, Grant Cardone. He says, it's actually, what do you need to cut out of your life? That was the game changer for me. And I didn't realize it, because I'm probably like you are right now. You're like, man, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? How do I do it? You're asking yourself like the wrong questions. The questions I had to ask myself is, number one, of course, what are my goals? Who do I want to become? What do they do? You know, that's very powerful. But the biggest shift for me was, what am I doing right now that is just not serving me? And I was stuck in so many negative habit loops, right? With a variety of things that, until I pushed those to the wayside, I couldn't start becoming the person I was meant to be, which is the best version of myself, mm-hmm. right? So I would ask you to audit yourself too, and you know what's holding you back. You know, okay, if you're honest with yourself, you know what is holding you back. I don't know what it is for you. Some of the things that were holding me back is chewing tobacco was stealing 45 minutes of my life per day. A couple cocktails here and there was not having me feeling well. And then when you bing, 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 add these up, you're like, man, that's X amount of hours per week. Holy smokes. For all you people that are busy out there, right? Mm-hmm. delete all of the negative things that you know aren't serving you. That's what literally changed my life. So if you're like overwhelmed with all of these, like, I don't know who I want to become, I'm not sure what my goals are, hey, if that's too far out there for you, just audit yourself right now and say, what are things that I'm doing throughout the week that just aren't serving me? Delete those. That is one step in the right direction.
If you're somebody who, like, if you're like, I don't know where I'm going and I don't know who I want to become, like Tim just said, like, you just don't even know. That sounds too big right now. Sounds like, what do you mean? Ask yourself, like, do you generally feel the way that you want to feel on a daily basis? Physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually? Like, if not, that's where the editing starts. So, and it doesn't even have to be crazy. It's simple, small edits, like Tim just said. Think of it just like you're editing your life. It's just, you're editing it, right? And by week 4 of the identity recode, you're literally putting all of that into action, posture and energy, putting everything that you've just decided to edit into action. And by week 5, it's integration, which is basically discipline, meaning every day you say yes to the new you instead of the old you, because this is right where executives decide to turn back when things get really hard and scary, right when you're fully integrating the new you and you're fully taking action. Then you realize, wow, this is actually a little harder, actually really hard. Tim and I went through this moment where we had a choice, like, okay, you're between these two identities. Are you going to go? Are you going to stay with this one who's actually taking you where you want to go? Or do you want to go back here where it's comfortable? Because you will be faced with that decision frequently, especially until that real discipline is built, until you're fully integrated into a new identity. And this is done in very small bite-sized chunks. And I'm going to walk people all the way through it. And I'm really excited because after Tim and I have helped over 8,000 people and we've ran mindset programs, we've ran leadership programs, communication, you name it, y'all, a lot of you have been on that journey with us. We've uncovered it to the point where we know with 100% certainty, and Tim's got something else exciting for you that we posted about today. We know with 100% certainty that it is identity. Forget mindset. This mindset thing I've been preaching about, yep, we'll get into it, but it's identity. Identity. Who are you becoming? And so I'm really excited just to take that to you guys. We didn't even mean to get so far out into this topic on this, but it affects everything. That's why we always will end up back on it. It's why you're showing up desperate online. It's why you bombed the interview. It's why you can't stick with something. It's why your network is in the crapper. It's why you feel crappy, because you need to build a new you.
That is the truth.
I'm really, really excited about this because I think it's going to help so many people.
Hey, well, that's all I got for the career report. We're rolling into the weekly wins call where I heard we have 11, 12, or 13 offers here this week at Executive Upgrade. So that is freaking amazing. As always, if you need help in your career, go on over to execupgrades.com/podcast. Until tomorrow. Have a great day, everyone. Tomorrow.